So tonight, you join a long line of women who have helped to build this kingdom. The price is dear, but so too the reward.
I know this may sound silly, but I do. I really have a lot of issues with the moral framework presented in this made-for-TV girl boss action flick. Let's talk about Damsel, which is currently streaming on Netflix and stars Millie Bobby Brown as Princess Elodie, our heroine, who finds herself in a bit of a tricky situation once her supposed Prince Charming actually sacrifices her to a dragon. Yeah, and so she not only needs to fight to save her own life, but also to overthrow the evil royal family who has been sacrificing innocent young women to this dragon in order to stay in power for, like, generations. And I can already hear you guys, whoa, easy there, Lauren, coming in hot with the spoilers. Ruin the entire premise of this whole movie, why don't you? And I hear what you're saying, guys, I really do, but what I need you all to understand is everything I just revealed there is all information that we, the audience, were given in the trailer for this film. I'm not even kidding. The trailer for this movie, which was released months before the movie actually came out, it contained like 95% of the film's plot in it.
For every innocent woman.
Going through the comments on that trailer, most of them are just people saying, okay, this is the whole movie. Should I even bother watching it at this point? And it's like, as someone who's now actually seen the movie, there were several different scenes in the film that would have been like a really cool kind of, wow, that's surprising moment. I guess what I'm trying to say here is Netflix, get a new trailer person. I don't mean to be a hater, but like who's ever doing them right now, it's not a strength of theirs, okay? But in any case, as you can imagine, Damsel is very clearly an attempt to deliver a subversive take of the traditional fairy tale where there's a damsel in distress who is ultimately saved by her Prince Charming. And now the issue I had with that, just right off the bat, is that in 2024, can it really be said that deviating from the traditional fairy tale is actually subversive? Because here's the thing, something stops being subversive once it actually becomes the norm. And I feel like nowadays it actually is very much the norm that, yeah, the princess is strong and needs to save herself. And actually the white prince royal family, they are the bad guys. So if this film was actually trying to go against the grain, they've already failed there. Not to mention, I feel like that Snow White film with Kristen Stewart, I think it was called Snow White and the Huntsman, you know, the film series that she got kicked out of the sequel for after it was revealed that she was having an affair with the director. That movie also painted itself as like a dark fantasy that delivered a twist on a classic fairy tale, and that came out 12 years ago. Which doesn't automatically mean that this movie is bad just because it's not really original, but if you were trying to be like edgy or anything like that, just know that you're about 12 years too late. But all of that noise aside, let's talk about what actually happens in this film. I mean, is it as cringy 2016 feminism as its trailer would have us believe? Or is it worth watching at all? And considering once more that basically the entire film's plot was included in its trailer, I don't really know if it's worth giving a spoiler warning at this point. But if you haven't yet seen the movie and you don't want to know even more about it, then I guess pause this video and come back to it later, because we will be revealing like the 5% that was not included in the trailer in the rest of this video. So Damsel opens up by introducing us to Princess Elodie, and just immediately as the audience, we know that Elodie, she's not like other princesses, okay? She's a badass. She's chopping wood. That's right, she is actually engaged in labor, so, you know, kind of a big deal. But despite that very subtle and nuanced attempt to characterize Elodie as empowered, things are not going great for her because her kingdom is in shambles, okay? The people are starving, they are also freezing. freezing. I mean, things are so bad there at this point, people are just packing up and leaving, all right? Her kingdom is basically California at this point. But hang on, perhaps salvation is at hand because you see, her father, the king, has just received a very conveniently timed marriage proposal from a kingdom far, far away. Because you see, the royal family behind this marriage proposal, well, they have some serious cash, which means that if Elodie accepts it, well, now things are gonna be gravy for all of her people. And so despite some reservations on Elodie's behalf, her father, the king, accepts this marriage proposal and the whole family sails to go, I guess, see their new in-laws. Oh, also, I will mention here that Elodie does have a stepmother. Her actual biological mother is dead and her stepmother is Black Angela Bassett. So that's fun. So Elodie's family set sail and eventually they arrive at this new foreign mysterious kingdom, which is called Oria. And immediately they are struck by just how obviously wealthy this kingdom is. The castle is huge and immaculate. They have tons of crops growing. They're all thinking like, okay, this is awesome. And here they also meet their future in-laws, the royal family of Oria, who are led by their queen. And they seem a little stuffy and Caucasian, if you know what I mean. But overall, things are kind of okay. Okay. Things get a little weird though once after a closed door meeting with Oria's queen, Elodie's father, the king, emerges looking kind of troubled. But Elodie's stepmom confronts the king and asks like, hey, is everything okay? Is the marriage still on? And the king assures her that no, the marriage is still on and it's more gold that we could ever ask for or imagine. But still, he seems kind of, let's just say, distressed, which is strange, but he won't explain to the stepmom what exactly is wrong. And so ultimately, through the power of Black women's intuition, Elodie's stepmother eventually warns Elodie not to go through with the marriage. She says, and I quote, just because these people are royalty, that doesn't make them good.
They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
So she's trying to convince Elodie, let's just go back home. It's not too late to pull the plug on all of this. But you see, Elodie still very much wants to save the people of her kingdom. Plus, at this point, she has had some time to bond with the Prince of Oria, her future husband. And in addition to being kind of cute, Elodie's kind of wondering like, hey, perhaps this guy actually is my soulmate. I mean, she wants to travel and he also wants to travel. Like, you know, what are the odds? Pretty big deal, right? And so they do end up going through with the marriage ceremony where everyone's in attendance. But after that, Elodie's family goes back to the ship and the prince takes Elodie up to like this mountain. And he says, hang on a sec. We just have this like one little ancient ritual we need to do. And then we'll be like married and everything will be good. And so now during this little ceremony that they do in this cave on this mountain, the queen of Oria explains to Elodie that centuries ago, when the royal family first arrived onto the island, they found out that they were not its sole inhabitants, that there was actually this creature, this beast that lived there before them that basically killed a bunch of villagers. And so the king and some of his knights went to go kill this beast in return, but they were unable to avenge their subjects. The beast was too powerful, and so they had to make a bargain with this beast that basically every generation they need to sacrifice their own blood. Which is kind of strange, but I guess Elodie at this point is like, foreign customs, what are you gonna do? And they do this thing where they cut the prince's hand and Elodie's hand, and then they kind of make them hold hands, and the queen gives this whole spiel about how now Elodie is of their blood. And so that's over and done with, and Elodie is like, fine, you know, we can just be married now. My happily ever after starts. But then, in what I think is the best scene of the movie, hands down, and potentially the best scene in any movie that I have seen in perhaps years, while carrying Elodie kind of like across the threshold, the prince actually just goes ahead and yeets her into this pit. It's so good. Like, this is art. Like, I don't know about the rest of the movie, but this scene, it's just art. There were so many different ways they could have shown the prince, like, sacrificing her to the dragon, but they just, that's what they went with. Oh gosh, it is a directorial decision that I support 100%. And here's the thing, that scene is also included in the trailer. Like, this should have been a big, like, oh, no way moment. It's like, it's in the trailer. And, like, I understand whoever made the trailer, they were like, okay, this scene is amazing. We need to show as many people it as possible. But also, like, I'm not gonna lie. If I had just gone into Damsel knowing this is a, you know, modern twist on a fairy tale without knowing specifically about the dragon sacrifice, that scene would have been, like, so much more impactful, if you can even imagine. So anyway, Elodie wakes up later, bruised and battered after being yeeted into the dragon pit by her supposed Prince Charming. She is very quickly confronted by this dragon who tries to kill her. And by the way, this is one of those dragons that, like, actually talks. Dragons don't always talk in mythology. This one does. And so a good part of the film here is basically her just kind of like wandering around caves trying to survive. And through this all, eventually Elodie does uncover the fact that there were tons, scores of women who were sacrificed in the same way before her. And something else Elodie puts together is the reason why they slit the prince's hand and hers and like made them hold hands together is so it would trick the dragon into thinking that she was actually of the blood of Aurea's royal family, which she's not. And so essentially the royal family is trying to skirt around the need to sacrifice their own by having these random women like very quickly marry into the family before offering them up as dragon fodder. And Elodie does try to explain to the dragon that, hey, I just got here. I'm not part of the royal family here, but the dragon doesn't believe her. And at one point, Elodie's father does show up at the dragon den trying to save Elodie. And see, it turns out that he was actually told what the royal family were planning, that they were going to sacrifice his daughter. But because they also simultaneously offered him a bunch of money, he was okay with it for a while, but then eventually couldn't actually go through with leaving her there and so tried to go and save her. And now here, Elodie does actually manage to get out of the dragon den pit situation, but in the process, her father is killed. Sad. But also not really, because he was basically okay with sacrificing her. But you see, Elodie isn't quite home free yet, because once Aurea's royal family finds out that her father was trying to save her and all that, they actually kidnap her little sister, who also is there with them, by the way, and they try to sacrifice her to the dragon, and so Elodie needs to go back and rescue her sister. And now it is during this rescue operation for her sister that Elodie does manage to, I guess, have a heart-to-heart with this dragon who has been tormenting her and trying to kill her for basically most of the movie. And so it's at this point the dragon's like, what? No way. I thought all of those women I've been killing for centuries were actually descended from that a-hole, but it turns out they're actually descended from like other random people. That's crazy. Totally been killing the wrong descendants this whole time. And so it's here after that revelation that Elodie actually does have the chance to like kill the dragon, but she decides not to, because you see, Elodie realizes that put in a similar position, who among us, pray tell, would not choose to punish our child's murderer for centuries by like killing their descendants, right? I mean, I think looking at this, we can all pretty much agree that the dragon is not at fault here in any way, shape, or form. Even, you know, if you overlook the other women that she's killed throughout the centuries, she has also been actively trying to kill Elodie and killed her father in front of her. But it's like, no, you know what? Clearly the real problem here is the royal family. The royal family, which has basically been living with this curse upon them for centuries. Either sacrifice one of your own daughters who has done nothing wrong, or sacrifice some other person's daughter who has also done nothing wrong. But hey, maybe you could at least pay off their family so they're compensated in some way. But in any case, you need to send an innocent woman to die. Otherwise, all of your subjects are going to be killed. Yeah, it's clearly they who are like the villains of this story. And so in the most girl boss way to end this film ever, Elodie and the dragon end up showing up at the castle and just kill all of the royal family. And it's like, on the one hand, I understand why Elodie would be upset with them. She was yeeted into a dragon pit to die. But I feel like if it were me, I would also be pretty cognizant of the fact that, hey, they probably never would have done any of this if it weren't for this dragon that was like, yeah, sacrifice people to me or I'm gonna kill you all. Like, I feel like the dragon really, I don't know, deserves a little more scrutiny. But in any case, once the royal family are all dead, Elodie and her stepmother and her little sister, they go back to their own kingdom, you know, with tons of supplies from Oria that they basically just like looted, if you think about it. They go back to their own kingdom to rule, and guess who goes with them? The dragon, because they're now friends. Again, just overlooking all of the centuries of murdering women because she thought that they were descended from this one guy. And that's Damsel. Yeah. And look, I do want to be fair here. This movie wasn't terrible to watch, especially like the first part of it before she got dumped into the dragon pit. That was my favorite part of the movie because, I don't know, it's very aesthetically pleasing. I mean, the production design, the costuming, the set, cinematography, they did a really good job with that in this film. I've never watched Stranger Things, so I'm not really familiar with Millie Bobby Brown as an actress, but I thought she was really good in this. The Evil Queen of Oria, she is politician's wife from House of Cards. I don't remember any of their names, but she's always great. She plays a really good villain, in my opinion. She's good in this role. There was a lot done right with this film that make it very watchable, especially for something that you can just find on Netflix. All of my criticisms really come down to the writing. And again, the idea that the moral of the story would be that the dragon was just a victim of circumstance, and it's really the family, the royal family of Oria, who are the bad guys. Like, that just, like, that's a major stumbling block, in my opinion. Because if you've watched the film, you'll know it really does try to advance the idea that if all of those women who for centuries were thrown into the pit to be sacrificed, if they actually had been related to that original king that killed the dragon's children, that it would have been justified. Which is like, no, it would not have been. So, you know, I'm really not having a good time with that whole aspect of the film. Something else throughout it, it is pretty over the top cringy in terms of the girl bossing. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown, when she's first sacrificed to the dragon, she's in her like wedding bridal attire that of course involves a corset, several layers of skirts, and like her hair is wrong. And then throughout being in the cave, she like sheds all of it off, almost like her princess attire is a metaphor for her shedding off the expectations of royalty in a misogynistic world. I mean, at one point she like literally cuts her hair in order to like fight the dragon. Just like, it's on the nose. It's like film school 101. I still would have said it was too cheesy if it were a freshman doing it. I just feel like if we had kept the first half of the movie of them dealing with the royal family of Oria and then rewrote the second half to actually have like some more intrigue, some better mystery, and to be less cringy girl bossy, it could have been a decent and much better movie. But in any case, those are just my thoughts. And as always, here is what Papa Chen has to say. Just like, spoiler, he's going to be countersignaling me the entirety of his review.
I think the movie is not that bad, considering it's a very small budget. And that's what Netflix needs. I would say it's well done.
He's going to be countersignaling me the entirety of his review.
Like the dragon got so angry with the humans. And then the human agree to give the dragon sacrifice every year. But that is something is quite, I would say, is any fantasy movie will be the same. But at the end, when the dragon turns against the royal family, that's quite interesting, the way she did it. The stepmother was a black lady, but that time, especially in ancient time, black people would be very difficult to go up to the as a head of the family. Right nowadays, they just do diversity. Every single opportunity, they put diversity there. Overall, I would give it a 6.5.
All right, so those are our thoughts. And as always, we would like to know what you guys think. Did you watch Damsel? If so, what did you think of it? Let us know down below. If you enjoyed this video, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Until next time.